Well, last week we looked at this idea that came from the prophet Isaiah that people of faith are called by God to be repairers of breaches, that where there is brokenness and where there is division between people, we are to seek solutions and to mend what has been fractured and broken. We talked about how we see breaches in our relationships just about everywhere, in families, at work, in our government, and between nations. And we talked about some specific ways that we as individuals can be repairers of breaches through prayer, by walking across the room and extending our hand, by acting for peace, by seeking to resolve conflict in healthy ways, by seeking and extending forgiveness, and by setting boundaries which confront evil. Now this week, I'd like us to think about how we can take that a step further by actively building bridges that reach out and seek to include and invite people into community and into relationship with God. This morning, our scripture reading comes from the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Luke, verses 27 through 32, and this morning I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. We read, "Later, as Jesus left the town, he saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax collector's booth. 'Follow me and be my disciple,' Jesus said to him. So Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Later, Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with them. But the Pharisees and their teachers of religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples, 'Why do you eat and drink with such scum?'" That's the translation of the New Living Bible. "And Jesus answered them, 'Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they're sinners and need to repent.'" This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray together. Lord, we ask for you to speak to us through this, your word. We ask for your Holy Spirit to whisper to us and guide our thoughts. We ask for you to plant seeds of faith in our lives so they may direct how we connect and how we relate to the people that you put in our paths. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, the summer after I graduated from college, I had a summer internship at a large suburban church in a city by the name of Mount Morris. It was kind of a blue-collar town with a lot of folks who worked in the auto industry. And it was also a church that had a lot of UAW, United Auto Worker, members. And for some reason, we were overly blessed with UAW committeemen, people who were responsible for negotiating with management and people who often weren't the easiest people in the world to get along with. Well, it was a church that for many years had been known for its ministry with junior and senior high youth. And my role was serving as the acting youth director after the previous youth director moved to another church. His name was Bob Boring. Now, can you imagine being a pastor with the name of Bob Boring? Here is our pastor, Reverend Boring. Let me introduce you to Pastor Boring. He always took a lot of grief for that. He's a great guy, privileged to follow him. But I ended up accepting the permanent position and going to grad school there and served there for 3 years. And one of the ministries that we got going during the time I was there was an outreach to neighborhood kids. And during the summer, on Friday night, we would open up our gym and we had volleyball nets out in the parking lot and we played Foursquare. I haven't seen that played for a long time, but how many of you remember Foursquare? Bounce the ball back and forth. We had a lot of things going on. We had this large garage that we used to house our bus, and we had a couple of vans, and during the summer we turned this into a cafe, and volunteers, parents sometimes would come. They would cook burgers and hot dogs, and we'd have soft drinks, and we played Christian rock music over loudspeakers. And some of our own kids formed a band, and they would play as things got as things got dark. We'd pull everybody in the bus garage, and we'd have this concert. And at the close of the evening, every Friday, either me or one of the other leaders would give a little talk about Jesus. Well, in the fall, we did a bonfire after home football games, and in the winter, we flooded a field that was next to the church that we owned, and we made this huge ice rink, so we'd play hockey, and we had bonfire. It was great. And within a year, when we started this, actually it was the idea that our kids came up with, our church became the place to be for teens on Friday night. It was really kind of neat. And we'd often have several hundred kids come out on Friday nights, and most of them weren't our church kids, as people like to say, but they were kids from the community. Just kind of everybody came. And as you might have guessed, with a group of several hundred teens, not everything went perfectly. We had kids every now and then get in a fight. We had some graffiti that showed up in our bathroom. There was some wear and tear on our building. And all of this caused a little tension with some of the church members. Then there was this one night, I'll never forget it, where we were raided by the local police department. There were a couple kids who were hiding out behind the bus garage, and apparently they were smoking weeds. And the entire police force of Mount Morris, all 10 of them, swooped in on our parking lot. It was like they thought they were a SWAT team, but they more closely resembled Andy Griffin and Barney, and they raided the church. Well, can you imagine this? The next week, we had this little local paper, it came out once a week, headlines, Raid at First Baptist Church. That didn't go over well. I was called into a meeting with the Board of Deacons, and they were, at that time, men who were charged with safeguarding the spiritual welfare of the church. Senior Minister Mel Carrico, always very supportive of our ministry, said, Mark, buckle up your chin strap. And I came into the board meeting, to the deacon board, and sat for about 2 hours at the end of this long table, all 12. It's kind of like the Last Supper, you know, Jesus and all those people and his disciples, they sat around the table. There was no food there, though. And we're sitting in the library, and I was grilled for 2 hours by these 12 committee men who were experts in inflicting pain. Some of them were supportive of me. Some of them actually had worked serving food in the bus garage. But some of them thought I was either the son of Satan or somewhere close to that. And I told them how many kids from our neighborhood had come to our church and gotten involved, and a number of kids had decided to be followers of Jesus. Some of the parents of these kids started coming to our church. But I'll never forget this one guy, Bernie. I can still see Bernie. And he grilled me about why we would ever play rock and roll music, even if it's Christian music. Rock and roll, he said, it's the devil's music. And he had this idea. He said, why don't you get all the kids to bring all their rock and roll records and throw them in the bonfire? Yeah, that's going to work. And I just kind of kiddingly, I said, do you think we should have them bring some books with them? He didn't even get what I was saying. The other deacons laughed. But Bernie and a few of his friends on the board were going, yeah, that'd be a good idea. Record burning, book burning, really? Okay. Well, in the end, they decide to shut it down as it might damage the reputation of the church. And I like, what are we here for? And then, it was a bold move, I read this text that is our morning scripture reading. In this reading from the Gospel of Luke, we read about how Jesus saw this tax collector by the name of Levi sitting in his collection booth, and we assume that they had some kind of relationship before this took place, and they had gotten to know each other, but you know, as most of you know, tax collectors back day, that day were hated and despised. They were often crooked and deceitful. I mean, they're not real loved today, but back then, oh man, they were bad news. But Jesus said to this tax collector, Levi, come and follow me. And we read where he left everything behind and followed him. Now, we're not sure how much later this happened, but it's obvious that Levi, also known as Matthew, went through a radical change from a tax collector to a disciple of Jesus. But what I want you to pay attention to in this story is something that Matthew, Levi, did. He threw a party, a banquet, as our text puts it. And he invited his old gang, all his friends who were tax collectors and people of questionable reputations, and he invited them to the party, and he invited Jesus to be the guest of honor. And so here's Jesus at this party with all these unsavory characters and the Pharisees, the very prim and proper religious people of that day. They said to Jesus, why do you eat and drink with such scum? And Jesus replied to them, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. And Jesus is known as what? The great physician. There's another story that we find in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John, where Jesus is walking through an area of Samaria, and he's tired and he's thirsty from his long walk. So he finds this well, and he sits beside it. It was about noon, and a Samaritan woman came to draw water. And Jesus, who did not have a bucket to draw water, asked the woman if she would give him a drink. And the woman was shocked. She said, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you even talking to me? You see, in those days, men rarely spoke to women in public, even if they were married, and a woman's place was to be silent. Second, single men never spoke to women in public. And third, this woman had a very questionable reputation. That's why she was at the well at midday. In that day, water gathering was mainly a woman's responsibility, and because of the heat of this region, women would usually gather either early in the morning or at dusk when it was cooler. And it became a kind of social gathering and a place to meet and talk at the watering hole. But because this woman had a bad reputation and because she was ashamed, she came at high noon, knowing there would be no one else around. Now add to this that Jesus was a rabbi, a teacher, and rabbis were known for being absolutely scrupulous in following all the rules and rituals and running from anything that had the slightest appearance of impropriety. But in this simple act, Jesus, by just talking to the woman, crossed a ton of barriers. When the disciples came back to meet Jesus at the well, they were shocked. But none of them had the nerve to ask what they must have been thinking. What in the world are you doing, Jesus? Why are you talking to this woman? Why are you talking to someone like that? And because Jesus spoke to this woman, because Jesus wasn't afraid to build a bridge to a woman like this, it gave him an amazing ability to talk into her life about spiritual things. He wasn't only building a bridge between himself and this woman as an individual, but at the very same time, he was building a bridge between this woman and God the Father. How many times are we put in situations where God has the ability to use us as a bridge instead of a barrier? It seems so often the Christian church has become so concerned about appearing righteous that we miss the opportunity to build bridges with people who may be far from God. And I think each of us has to be on watch in our own lives about the kind of attitudes and judgments that we often make when it comes to people who are different than us. We find it easier to build barriers and breaches that keep us safe than bridges that God can use. Well, I have to admit this. Last week, for me, was a horrible week. I was very sick. I was so congested I could hardly breathe. I had to have some minor surgery, and on top of that, it was a very busy week at the church. Sorry you missed it, Alan. I didn't have any option of calling in sick. And then on top of that, my computer died. And I mean, everything is on that computer. It wouldn't even turn on. It was just a blank screen. I pushed the button, nothing. Pushed the button, nothing. Pushed the button, nothing. And I really needed my laptop to do my work, and nothing. And I'm like, okay, really? Really? Come on. So I go out to the Apple store in my sweats, and I'm coughing and sneezing, and people are like, oh, get away from that guy. And they assigned me to this woman who had pink hair on this side and purple hair on this side. She had more nose rings and earrings and pierces and tattoos than I could count. And then she spoke with a lisp that I couldn't really understand. There's all this noise going on, and I can't understand what she's saying. I'm like, oh, come on, really? Really? You couldn't give me somebody I could at least hear? You know her? Well, it gets better. She asked me, well, what do you do for a living? And I, really? Come on. And I told her, I said, I'm pastor at DeWitt Community Church right across from the shopping town. She goes, no way, I live right in the neighborhood. And I've thought often about visiting, and it's like, wow, Mark, you need an attitude check. You're not, you know, zing. There's a plank in my eye. And yeah, I'm sick, and I'm not at the top of my game. But I found myself passing judgment on somebody just because of hair color. And it's as if I could hear the Holy Spirit saying to me, practice what you preach. Practice what you preach. But here's the bigger question for me and for you, for all of us, for the church. Are we living with the kind of love towards others, towards people that are a little different than us, that Jesus had for Levi and for his friends and for the woman at the well? Because in God's eyes, we're all the same. We're all God's children. And God's love for the guy on the street or the gal behind bars or the teen hooked on drugs or the illegal immigrant is no different than God's love for you or me. And so my question to me and to you and to us is, are we more concerned about being used by God to be a bridge or playing it safe and building these barriers to protect us from those who are a little different than us? You know, I mentioned this before, but in a former setting, we used to house the homeless in our church, Fellowship Hall, 1 week out of every year. There were 52 churches we worked together, and each church would take about 120 homeless people. Many of them had jobs during the day, and we would provide sack lunches, but they would stay at our building. We would make sure their laundry was clean. We'd have breakfast. We'd have dinner. We had things going on for them. And because I had a flexible schedule, I used to work the 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. shift. And during that time, I got to know a lot of our guests, and I got to know a lot of their stories, and to understand that even though our circumstances were different, that we were very much the same. And that things like job loss and illness and mental illness and addictions put these folks on the street, oftentimes dragging their children from shelter to shelter. How'd you like to live like that? And it reminded me of something my mother always said to us kids, there but for the grace of God goes I. Throughout his ministry here on earth, Jesus built bridges for people, and Jesus calls us to do the same thing. Jesus continues to challenge us to see people through his eyes, not ours, to build bridges, not barriers, to accept people where they're at, and trust that God will use us to impact their life. You know, that's what it's all about, isn't it? Is that God has dramatically changed our lives. And through that change, God can use us in so many ways if we're open to His Spirit and we're open to truly seeing people, all people, as God sees them. Let us pray. Lord God, it's so easy. It's so easy to become judgmental. It's so easy to become self-righteous and to believe we're the example to which other people should live. Confront our blindness. Change our hearts. Help us to be a reflection of your love in the way we treat other people. Help us to build bridges and to repair breaches. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.